Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, radiant creatures one and all, I salute you and welcome you to another edition of Adagio. Please come right this way. We are just about to begin. Here we are with September taking hold of the winds and temperatures, putting its stamp on the cool mornings, the early evenings, the northwest winds, and the sharper sound of the leaves in the winds now that they are beginning to dry. I, for one, never willingly go into September. Even though it's a beautiful month, I'm reluctant to give up the easy living of August, the hot summer days, the windows open day and night, lace curtains billowing in the breeze, laundry on the line, beach towels and swimsuits draped over the railings, the summer cabins, kids out of school, late summer flowers, swimming outside day or night, the gigantic muscular cumulus clouds sailing like colossi through a radiant blue sea of sky. Crickets, cicadas, multicolored grasshoppers, the aromas of dry vegetation, and most of all the warm ocean temperatures we get in August here in the north. However, never mind, those who cannot let go get dragged along behind. So give a cheer, everyone. We're into that beautiful month of September with all its changes, the turning of the leaves, the waning temperatures, the cool nights so good for sleeping in the heavy dews of the morning, and like a large returning migration, the monstrous yellow-orange school buses with their precious cargo back on the scene. As I mentioned, it's Adagio you got going on here, a weekly program directed toward people for whom music is a big deal, who get excited by music, people who from time to time listen to music with headphones for the complete immersion into sound, into song, into the vast array of emotions that music conveys, into the stories and images that musicians portray. And this week, I have a prime example of all that I'm eager to share with you. It's a poem this time, a very tender narrative poem, written from the perspective of a parent to a daughter who was abducted in the aftermath of the CIA-backed coup that overthrew Chilean President Salvador Allende and was never seen or heard from again. If you have the opportunity to listen closely, you will hear the portrait of a parent, since it is read by a woman, we'll say it is the mother, who is writing to her daughter, who was probably what we would call a student radical and a supporter of Salvador Allende. But the mother is a mannered woman who takes great pride in her upbringing and in knowing how to do things the proper way. She speaks of how they were once very close, but through the years the daughter's political views drove them apart, though they lived in the same house until she was taken away. The mother writes about the daughter's friends who came to see her, and the cards and letters they write that keep coming, piling up on her bedside table where she keeps them for her. The poem is written by the Chilean novelist, poet, playwright, academic, and human rights activist Ariel Dorfman. Just as many intellectuals and idealists flocked to Washington, D.C. to work with John F. Kennedy's administration in the early 60s, so did many of high ideals go to Santiago to work with President Allende in 1970. Ariel Dorfman was one of them, serving as cultural advisor to Salvador Allende until he was murdered, as was poet Pablo Neruda, by the military junta in 1973. Dorfman himself fled the country to Paris, then Amsterdam, Washington, D.C., finally landing at Duke University, where he is a research professor of literature and Latin American studies. His poem, entitled Correspondence, is dedicated to all those who voted for Salvador Allende in Chile's election, September 4th, 1970. It is read for us here, so much more than that. It is performed for us here by Kathleen Turner. And because there is so much subtle detail going on here, I'm going to play it twice. Okay, ready? Actress Kathleen Turner performing Correspondence by Ariel Dorfman, with its dedication to the supporters of Salvador Allende.
Correspondence. To all those who voted for Salvador Allende in Chile's last free presidential election on September 4th, 1970. For many days after they came for you, letters kept coming, for weeks, for months. Letters that I've saved from people who knew you. Then people found out, they always find out. The letters stopped coming, and the visits dwindled away to a trickle after a rainstorm. I thought about sending them back opened, unread, with a note. My daughter, Carolina, regrets she is unable to respond. That's how you say these things. That's how I learned to say them. But they stick to my hand. I don't want to mail them. Your friends are inside, the ones you didn't bring home. The people who were your friends, if only I knew what they were saying to you, what they are saying and what they said, those people I never knew and who were different from me. But one doesn't open other people's mail. That's a basic rule of good breeding. There's someone, though, who keeps writing. Every year, there's a card dated September 4th and underneath an illegible signature. I will always remember, says the card, that September 4th until the day I die. And then the illegible signature. Who knows whose it's from? Because toward the end, we didn't talk much. You wanted to move out for political reasons, for other reasons. You called me old-fashioned. You said I didn't understand you. You used to tell me everything. You come to me with all your troubles, and little by little, you locked yourself in. And I heard the key in the door of your room. And we didn't talk anymore. I may be very old-fashioned, but I knew it would come to no good. No good. I told you, and you wouldn't listen. So, all I know about the young man is that after so much time, he still sends you the same words of love every year. Don't worry. If he ever visits you, if he comes for you someday, don't worry. I'll know what to do. When I open the door, he'll ask for you. I'd like to take him to your room to see the bed with sheets all clean and white and ironed. We change them every week. I'd like him to see the dolls in the mirror and the letters on the night table, but it's not proper for me to do that. It's the first time he's come to see you. We'd better go right to the living room. I'll offer him some tea. Then I'll get the letters and his cards as well. And you don't have to worry. I'll be discreet, very discreet. I won't ask his name, his profession. We'll talk about you only if he wants to, calmly, as if you were on a trip or expected home soon. I'm old-fashioned, it's true. And maybe I didn't understand you. But you can be sure of this. With a friend so loyal, I'll know how to behave. Before he leaves, I'll allow myself to ask for one favor. I'll ask him to keep writing. I hope you won't be angry. I hope I'm doing the right thing. To keep writing every year, the same cards, the same words as before. I'll keep putting them in order in a little packet on the night table. I know that's not how one does things. I know it's not good breeding. But you don't know how I like to think the day will come when we read the September 4th cards together, the two of us talking beside your night table.
Despise. Thank you.
For many days after they came for you, letters kept coming. For weeks, for months. Letters that I've saved from people who knew you. Then people found out. They always find out. The letters stopped coming, and the visits dwindled away to a trickle after a rainstorm. I thought about sending them back opened, unread, with a note. My daughter, Carolina, regrets she is unable to respond. That's how you say these things. That's how I learned to say them. But they stick to my hand. I don't want to mail them. Your friends are inside, the ones you didn't bring home. The people who were your friends, if only I knew what they were saying to you, what they are saying and what they said, those people I never knew and who were different from me. But one doesn't open other people's mail. That's a basic rule of good breeding. There's someone, though, who keeps writing. Every year, there's a card dated September 4th and underneath an illegible signature. I will always remember, says the card, that September 4th until the day I die. And then the illegible signature. Who knows whose it's from? Because toward the end, we didn't talk much. You wanted to move out for political reasons, for other reasons. You called me old-fashioned. You said I didn't understand you. You used to tell me everything. You come to me with all your troubles, and little by little, you locked yourself in. And I heard the key in the door of your room. And we didn't talk anymore. I may be very old-fashioned, but I knew it would come to no good. No good. I told you, and you wouldn't listen. So, all I know about the young man is that after so much time, he still sends you the same words of love every year. Don't worry. If he ever visits you, if he comes for you someday, don't worry. I'll know what to do. When I open the door, he'll ask for you. I'd like to take him to your room to see the bed with sheets all clean and white and ironed. We change them every week. I'd like him to see the dolls in the mirror and the letters on the night table, but it's not proper for me to do that. It's the first time he's come to see you. We'd better go right to the living room. I'll offer him some tea. Then I'll get the letters and his cards as well. And you don't have to worry. I'll be discreet, very discreet. I won't ask his name, his profession. We'll talk about you only if he wants to, calmly, as if you were on a trip or expected home soon. I'm old-fashioned, it's true. And maybe I didn't understand you. But you can be sure of this. With a friend so loyal, I'll know how to behave. Before he leaves, I'll allow myself to ask for one favor. I'll ask him to keep writing. I hope you won't be angry. I hope I'm doing the right thing. To keep writing every year, the same cards, the same words as before. I'll keep putting them in order in a little packet on the night table. I know that's not how one does things. I know it's not good breeding. But you don't know how I like to think the day will come when we read the September 4th cards together, the two of us talking beside your night table.
Thank you.
That was a group calling themselves the Goton Project, with a piece entitled Paris, Texas, following up a performance by Kathleen Turner of Ariel Dorfman's poem Correspondence. And if you'd like more details, please visit our website, radioadagio.com, where you can find interesting links and videos, as well as previous programs you can listen to anytime you like, free of charge. So, did you catch all that? The program is Adagio. I'm your host, Drew Darling, and let's hear some more tango. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, everyone, I hope you've heard something you liked this week. Truth be told, I hope you heard something you really liked. Something that made you stop and draw near and think, whoa, what is this? Bye for now, everyone. I've been your host, Drew Darling. See you next week.